Welcome to BT listeners. This is Adam, friend of the show and occasional guest. Today, this is going to be something very different, and I'm hoping this is something that you guys will like. Before I get too far into this, I do want to thank Dave, Steve, and Michael for letting me use up a little bit of their corner of the internet to do this. What I'm doing today is something that's really kind of weird and very, very niche-based, but I'm hoping it's something that you guys might like, and if you do, please let them know at 2BT, and as well as let me know, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Retro Reprise. So what I'm doing today is I'm going to be playing you guys some music from my favorite video game series, Castlevania, and we're going to be comparing and contrasting one song that was played through different games and different systems and consoles. So what I'm going to preface this with is that back when video game consoles like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo were out, in Japan and in other regions, they would have different components to make these consoles. And sometimes they would have to use different parts. And as a result, video game music would sound different. And it's one of those things that I kind of like to do out on my own. I just like to listen to different variations of a song and kind of pick one that I like. And I wanted to take you guys on that journey with me, and today we're going to listen to a song called Simon's Theme from the Castlevania series. This is based on the character of Simon Belmont, the coolest of the Belmonts, in my opinion. But he was in the first game for the Nintendo, and the version that we're going to start off with is from Super Castlevania IV. So if you're not familiar enough with the series or what I'm talking about, Castlevania was a series that started off on the Nintendo with Castlevania, then Castlevania II, Simon's Quest, and then Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. And when the Super Nintendo came out, one of the early games to come out for it was Super Castlevania IV. Now, what's really kind of interesting about this is that in sort of the U.S. market, this was considered the fourth game in the series, hence the name Castlevania IV. But in Japan, when they were releasing it for the Super Famicom, the way they looked at it was just a reimagining of the first game. And so even in the instruction booklet, I believe there's reference to this being the fourth adventure in Castlevania, but over time it's become more publicly accepted that this is just a reimagining. And what you're going to find out as we move along is that the first game being remade was sort of a common thing to happen. Actually, Castlevania, the first Castlevania game, has been rebooted more than, Spider-Man, the Spider-Man movie series. So it's kind of interesting, and we're going to hear different pieces of music from those different games. But to start off with, I did want to talk a little bit about the Super Nintendo and kind of give you guys a little bit of a background on it. So the Nintendo sound chip for the Super Nintendo was called the S-SMP sound chip. It was designed and produced from Sony. And this chip was a little bit more advanced than some of the other things that we were used to. So with the Super Nintendo, we had a very chiptune sounding type of thing with blips and beeps and square waves and triangle waves and things like that that had to be manipulated to make music. And the same sort of thing happened with the Sega Genesis. It used a Yamaha chip that used FM sound waves to create its sounds. But what was unique about the Super Nintendo, and specifically the Sony sound chip, was that it was really an early version of a sound chip that would use sampling. So you could essentially record a piece of sound and have that as the sound in the system. So with a game like Super Castlevania IV, and having that capability, along with all the other capabilities like Mode 7 graphics and things like that, transitioning the first Castlevania game to Super Castlevania IV, they were able to do a little bit more with it. And one of the big things that they were able to do was kind of step away from the arcade feel of the first game and its opening track. So if you were to play the original the original Nintendo version, you would hear the track Vampire Killer, which is very upbeat. It's energetic. It gets you hyped. You're ready to go in and fight some demons, some vampires, some zombies. But they made a big change with the Super Nintendo version of this. And because they had all of these capabilities, they were able to go for more of an atmospheric sound. And they stepped away from the arcade feel and presented more of an orchestral feel and wanted to create more of a feeling than just going for this arcade pump you up, get you out there to fight bad guys. This was really a way to introduce the character. And there were some level design changes that had happened as well. So on the very first Nintendo game, when you start off, you're right at the front of the castle. You whip a couple of candles and you walk your way in, and you've got Vampire Killer just pumping you up to get through that game. In the Super Nintendo version, and think again, this is a reimagining, they start you further back from the castle, and you're actually in the courtyard, and you're starting to see this overgrowth of vines and greenery, and you know, you're starting to see skulls and skeletons just being awake and walking around. And this gave us our introduction to Simon's theme, and I think it's a great way to sort of start the game off again, going into more of the atmospheric feeling, and that's what it did. So with Super Castlevania IV, there were two composers on it. There was Masanori Adachi and Taro Kudo. My Japanese is absolutely horrible, so I will butcher names throughout the whole podcast. But this is probably the version of the song that most of us are going to be familiar with. If you played Super Castlevania IV back in the 90s, this was going to be the version that you probably heard the most and what you're probably familiar with. So this is a great baseline for us to get started with. And I'm just going to get to it. So here you go. The first version of Simon's theme. And we're going to move on now to the Sega Genesis version, which is coming from the game Castlevania Bloodlines. Now, there's a couple of really cool things about this. This was the first time that the Sega Genesis was getting a Castlevania game. And on top of this, we're going to hear a drastic difference in the instrumentation of the song, because the Sega Genesis, like I said, was using an FM sound chip. So for the Sega Genesis, they were using a Yamaha YM2612, which was actually in synthesizers. So at the time that this was out, you could actually get a keyboard that would have these sounds on it. So you could actually play this music if you were so inclined to do so. But this is going to be using FM sound, which at the time that the Genesis was released, around 1989 in the U.S. This was very, very close reproduction of what you would hear in arcades. The Super Nintendo, which had come out later, was using a little bit more advanced technology with its Sony chip using the sampling. So a couple of things that really stand out from the Genesis version is that, to me, the Genesis sound chip is actually very good. It kind of gets... there's some criticisms against the chip just because it's not as clean sounding as the Super Nintendo chip would be. And as a result, you may hear a little grit or a little bit of dirt in the back end, just because that's the way that the synthesizer itself worked. But this version of the song from Castlevania Bloodlines was composed by Michinu Yamane. And she moved on to do a lot of the Castlevania soundtrack work after that. She is probably most famously known for doing the soundtrack work on Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but this was her first foray into the Castlevania scene. So she did a fantastic job, and I'm going to just let the music speak for itself. So here it is. Simon's theme from Castlevania Bloodlines on the Sega Genesis. That was Simon's theme from Castlevania Bloodlines. That was, honestly, that would have been the actual Castlevania 4, and as far as the series was concerned. That was a continuation of the series. It followed long after Simon's passing, and this was taking over with the character of John Morris, who was Quincy Morris's son in the Dracula book. So they tried to tie in the Castlevania series in with the actual Bram Stoker's Dracula series in order for that to move on. But I really happen to enjoy the Sega sound chip, the Yamaha chip that's in the Sega Genesis. For me, certain things like the bass have a lot more presence, and the synths just sound a little bit better than on the Super Nintendo. Like I said, even though the Nintendo chip is a bit more advanced, I find that I lean towards the Sega Genesis as far as almost true authentic sound, and that's what that FM sound does for you. So if you notice, the bass was a little bit buzzier and a little bit more fuller and really had a feeling of in your face. And that was something that the Sega Genesis did very, very well. Especially in early, I would say late 80s, early 90s arcade games, you really couldn't beat it as far as the way that sound chip sounded. And it really was taken and modeled after Sega's own arcade systems that were coming out at the time, so you could get that full tone and that sound that you were getting out of the bass. But we're going to move on from Castlevania Bloodlines and the consoles that we had in America, and moving on to something very unique, something that we never got in the U.S., and I think it was a shame that we never got something like this in the US, but it's the Sharp X68000, which was a computer. It was not a game console, but it was a computer system that was really designed with video games in mind. And this was something that was exclusively, I believe, just in Japan. But the Sharp X68000 was essentially used for making video games as well. Another company, Capcom, actually used the 68000 architecture to design their own video games. So early 90s games like Final Fight, well, that might be late 80s, but games like Final Fight and Street Fighter 2 were actually built on that architecture. And Capcom started using a very similar architecture in their arcade machines. Just to give you a hint about how cool and how powerful this computer was. And there were several versions of the computer that came out later on. But one thing that I really love is the sound out of this computer, just the straight sounds that were coming out of this, its particular FM chip that it was having, that it had. And it also had a couple more channels of sound. So this is going to be a real treat because this is not something that we had in the U.S. at all. So I'm hoping that you guys will really enjoy this. I'm going to leave the sample a little bit longer than what I have with the previous ones so you guys can really get a feel for what this sounded like. Now, the game that we're going to be taking this version of Simon's Theme from is another remake of the first game. So I know I had stated it earlier before, but I haven't really stated the importance of this. The actual Castlevania that we got on the NES was not actually the first version of the game either. The first version of the game was released for computers in Japan under the title Vampire Killer. And when it came to the US, they changed the name to Castlevania. And in the Japanese release, it was actually referred to as Akamaju Dracula. So what Akamaju translates to roughly is Devil's Castle Dracula. And that's what this game is. It's Castlevania Chronicles. That did get released in the US on the PlayStation. And if you're fortunate to have it, you're fantastic. But it's a game that had limited release and is very expensive to get a hold of these days. And it contained both the X68000 soundtrack version to it, plus an additional soundtrack that was created just for PlayStation. So you had an option of picking one or two different soundtracks for it, depending on which version you wanted to play. Now, on top of this, this actually had several composers doing the music for this. We had Shin Chan, Keizo Nakamura, Hishari Kobayashi, and Soda Fujimori were all the composers on this. And this is where we're really getting into territory that I think the music becomes very enjoyable. Where the others were more kind of like looking at them almost from an academic standpoint, they were okay. Here we're really getting into what I consider more listenable territory, and really an incredible way to really push this game. Now, on this version, unlike the Super Castlevania 4 version, which was the opening track, this is actually on stage 8. This is on the last stage. And the use of this song on the last stage really brings it, to me, more of like a somber type of tone, and really builds up to getting into... You're now into the heaviest part of the castle. You're fighting a lot of enemies. It's very difficult, and you're about to face Dracula himself. And this is the last room that you have to get through to get there. The feel of this song versus the other versions of it really gives you a feeling of anticipation before you actually get to Dracula's throne room. And so again, I'm just going to play the piece because I think this is probably, out of everything that I'm playing for you today, I think this is my favorite version of the song. Again, we're going back to FM Soundchip. We got a little bit more channels available, so the instrumentation is going to sound different. You have a nice synthy, buzzy bass to it that I absolutely love, and the orchestration on it is just fantastic. So here we go from the Sharp X68000 version, something we never got in the US. Here is Simon's theme from the Castlevania Chronicles. So we're going to stick with this version of Simon's theme from Castlevania Chronicles, but this time we're adding something a little bit different. So the Sharp X68000 also had the capability for MIDI modules to be added to it. And luckily I have a couple of samples from those MIDI modules. And now if you're not familiar with MIDI, MIDI means musical instrument digital interface. In this case, what they're using it for is there's sort of like a brain that would hold a bunch of different keyboard sounds. And instead of buying a whole new keyboard every time, you could buy just one of these modules that would have a library of sounds in it, and you could play your keyboard and have those sounds available. And this computer had the capability of adding these different sound modules to it. And as a result, you would get some very vastly different sounding tunes and music out of it. So we're going to stick with this same version of the song. It's the exact same instrumentation or orchestration, but the instrumentation is going to be different because it's being played through a MIDI module. And the one that we're going to listen to first is the Roland CM64. I think there were about 9 or 10 different modules that you could get, each containing different types of sounds that were available. Some would be a little bit more accurate for orchestral stuff. Some would be better for organs. Some, I think, would probably end up using sampled sounds so it would sound as true to life as possible. But in this case, what we have is the Roland CM64. And like I said, this is the exact same music digitally as far as note for note. It's the same exact song. But this time we're going to be hearing it through a different sound module. And pay attention to the differences. There's going to be a lot in there. And probably some things that were actually in the song that you just heard, but maybe didn't come across because of the way it was mixed. So you may hear some different things, but I promise you the orchestration is the same. So check this out. This is the CM64 version of Simon's theme. And just check out the differences. I think it's really cool. I think it's something that's pretty neat. Okay, and so our last version for this podcast, this time we're going to be listening to the Roland CS55 MIDI module. And what you can do with some of these things is actually add in some sounds occasionally, and that's what they did with this one. So towards the beginning of the track, listen for a heartbeat. There is a heartbeat that shows up at the beginning of the track. It starts off in the right ear, it pans from right to left, and I think right again, and the heartbeat speeds up as the song starts to ramp up. Very cool little effect to add to it. And this was something that you could do with some more added channels and some different sounds. You're also going to notice some more authentic sounding organs in here and maybe a little bit better sounding drums. In my opinion, keyboard drums, especially during this time frame, don't really sound very accurate, but you're getting a very close, very gated drum sound. So it sounds pretty close to a lot of 80s style drum kits that you'd hear. But this is going to be the last track that I'm going to play for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and give this a listen and let me know what you think. And that's going to wrap it up for this podcast. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for indulging me in my little weird video game obsession. And I hope you found something enjoyable here. And I want to take the time again to thank Dave, Steve, Michael. Guys, thank you so much for letting me do this. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and I'm just happy to finally get a chance to do it now. But I do have a couple things to press. Of course, go and visit nerdylegion.com, where you can catch the guys at 2BT, and you can go somewhere else to catch them as well. You can go to the 143podcast.com. Not only can you check out 2BT, but you get the Bibliophile Labyrinth Adventures. That's a mouthful. People Like Us, Save the World, and The Big Two, you can check them out there at 143podcast.com. Guys, I do appreciate you checking this out. Thank you so much. Again, if you liked it, let the guys at 2BT know. Let me know. You can always hit me up at Retro Reprise on Twitter, and I'll be happy to talk to you about anything retro game related. And for now, I'm going to leave you guys with a little bonus track. So at the beginning of this podcast, you guys heard a song that came on. That was from Castlevania II Belmont's Revenge on the Game Boy. That song was called Battle of the Holy. And there is a remix version that was done for the Castlevania Adventure Rebirth that was released exclusively on the Wii through their virtual console download and is no longer available. It's not out anymore. So the only way you can get it, I think you might be able to emulate it. I'm not sure. But the only way to get it now is to buy a Wii that hopefully had it downloaded on there. I happen to have the game. I love it because I'm a Castlevania nut. But I'm going to leave you guys with this track. And thanks for listening. And hopefully, I'll get to talk to you guys soon. Bye.